us tonight, Genesis chapter number 7, and I really have a very simple sermon. Not that, of course, all my messages are simple, but a very, very simple message, because it's more of a burden on my heart than a message tonight. And some of the things that I'm going to preach would probably be some of the same things that have been said this week, just because it's just been, seemed like it's been the theme of this meeting and what God is doing. And I don't want to get away from it, because I don't want to detour from what maybe the Lord may be doing in our church and in our hearts tonight. Two verses of scripture I'd like to read and have prayer, and then you can be seated. Notice with me, well, let's look in verse number 13. Genesis 7 and verse 13. The Bible says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wives, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into Noah, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Lord, I ask you tonight, if you would, to give us the words and give us the wisdom. I don't want to say anything in the flesh tonight. I don't want to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you tonight again for this offering and all the offerings that have been received this week. I want to thank you for your people, Lord, and for the sacrifice, God, that they continually make for the work of God. And I pray that you'll bless them fourfold for their giving. There may be some here tonight that don't have anything to give and would like to give. Lord, I pray that you would bless them tonight as well. I ask you, Lord, if you would, to speak to hearts. I can't do anything, but you can do everything. And I pray that you would speak to every heart, including my own tonight, in a personal manner. And God, may you be pleased with our worship. May you get glory and honor. I ask that you bless the Jubilee. I pray you'd bless this weekend here at the church. And God, I just ask you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we'll thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention here to the last phrase in verse number 16, where the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. And I want to preach on that subject tonight, on when God shuts the door on you. And when you think about this text tonight, you're no familiar, you're no stranger tonight to the story of Noah and the ark. It is a story that we have heard down through the ages, down through our life. And just about everybody knows something about the story of Noah and the ark. But when you come to this text tonight, it's interesting that the Bible in verse number 13 talks about this family here. And as the Bible says, that in the selfsame day they entered in. Noah and his family. It mentions all of the members of Noah's family. There is eight of them that is going into this ark here. And when we consider this, those that are going in the ark, the Bible said the Lord shut the door on them. And I want you to think about this, because when God shuts this door, and only God could have shut this door, but when God shuts this door, those that were inside the ark were saved, and those that were outside the ark were lost. Amen. I want to say tonight, it is the same way in Christ. My friend, those of us that are saved, we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved and we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us tonight that are sitting here, those that are sitting here tonight that are not saved, you are lost. You are on the outside looking in. When Noah and his family went in the ark, God shut them in. And that's a miracle in and of itself. And it's mercy in and of itself. You know, the fact that you and I are saved tonight is a miracle of God. Amen. I like that song that says, but the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. And it's a miracle that he would save you. But in my eyes, and I'm sure you would testify the same, it's a greater miracle that God would save me tonight. And then it is mercy, isn't it?
getting it tonight. When you think about the mercy of God, when we deserve judgment, when we deserved hell, when we should die without God, my friend, when justice called, mercy answered and came to where we was. And I'm thankful tonight for the mercy of God. It is just the mercy of God that I can raise my hand with the redeemed and say I've been saved by the grace of God. And sinner, you hear me tonight. If you're lost, you need to get saved tonight before mercy runs out, because tonight could be your last opportunity. This could be your last chance. If you tell God no tonight, you may die and go to hell. You may never see a jubilee. You may never see another Sunday here at this church. You may never see another sunrise. You may never see another day upon this earth. You may never see another heartbeat or another breath. I'm saying, while you have mercy, you better run and you better get saved by the grace of God. Amen. Just because you live in America, just because you told a King James Bible, just because you go to an old-fashioned church, that doesn't promise you another opportunity to get saved. I'm telling you, when you think about this crowd that was standing outside the ark, I want to tell you, this is a generation, my friend, that was wicked, but it is a generation that had a witness. It is a generation, my friend, that had been given a warning. It is a generation that had had a word from God. This is a generation that knew the way. Noah had pointed them to the way. And this is a generation that had seen the work of God before their very eyes. But yet they rejected, they rebelled, and they died without God. Amen. There's a lot of people like that today. They too have had a witness. They too have heard the warning. They too have been given a word. They too know the way of salvation. They too have seen the very work of God. If you've been here this week, you have seen the work of God. I don't know how anybody could sit in revival like this five nights and lost without God under the preaching of the word of God and the testifying of the saints of God and the worship of God and go out lost every single night and just make their mind up they're going to go to hell. I'm telling you, friend, if you don't get saved tonight, God very well may shut the door on you. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to warn you. You've had enough opportunities. You've been given enough invitations. You've had more light than some people will ever have in a lifetime. You've had more in a week than some people will ever get in a lifetime. And if you tell God no tonight, he may shut the door on you. Amen. I believe I preach to people that God has shut the door on them. A lady came down to this altar one day and she wanted to be saved. And I said to her, she was having trouble getting saved. And I said to her, why are you struggling? She said, well, I don't know if I've crossed God's deadline. What if I've crossed God's deadline and I can't be saved? I said, do you want to be saved? She said, I do. Then I said, you've not crossed God's deadline. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. The fact that you have a desire and you want to and you're seeking God. You see, when someone's a reprobate, when they've crossed God's deadline and their conscience have been seared like a hot iron, they don't have any conscience of God anymore. You can witness to them. You can give them the Bible. You can pray over them. But they have absolutely no desire. Their conscience is seared. They have turned away from God. They'll turn the truth of God into a lie. They could hear sermon after sermon, and it'll just roll off them like water, friend, because they've went too far. Amen. And God has left them and God has shut the door and they're doomed for hell. And I tell you, if you're sitting here tonight and you got a lump in your throat or your stomach and you say, I know I'm lost and I want to be saved, friend, you're a good candidate for salvation. God isn't dealing with you so he can send you off to hell. He's dealing with you so he can take you to heaven. Amen. I tell you, if I was here tonight lost and God was dealing with me, I'd run to an old-fashioned altar tonight. I'd wave the old white flag, hallelujah. I'd say, dear God, I accept your mercy. I want to agree with you against myself. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Would you save me tonight, Jesus? He'll save you tonight.
You have to swallow your pride to be saved. You have to humble yourself. You have to get past what people think for. You know, there's a lot of people in hell that they couldn't get past what other people thought about them. They died without God and they went to hell. Probably mostly religious people. Too worried about what people was going to say about their status in religion. Too worried about maybe, well, I've already told people I'm saved. I've already done this and I've already done that. Jesus said many will say to me that day, Lord, if we're not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done many wondrous works. And he said, I will, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Amen. Jesus said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go therein. I'm telling you tonight, if you're lost and God turns the light on and he tells you you're lost, and if you're under conviction, there's no question. You will know that you are lost. Amen. You will see tonight, I'm not saved. I don't have what it takes to get to heaven. I'm telling you, that's a mercy of God, leaving the door of salvation open tonight so that you can enter in. All you got to do is the same thing all this crowd had to do, is get up from where you're at and make your way to God. All they had to do was walk through the door, but they spurned the invitation and they died. All of them died and went to hell. Can you imagine that? They all went to hell. I'm telling you tonight, there's no telling how many people in this world today has died and went to hell. No telling how many people in America today. Three people, every 3 seconds I think it is, someone goes out into eternity. No telling how many people today woke up on this side of the grave and by sunset now they're in the flames of hell. This crowd, can you imagine? I thought today, this crowd, they died physically, drowning in water, but then spiritually they went from a watery grave to a fiery pit of hell. Can you imagine leaving this world consumed and suffocated by water overtaking them and taking their life and quenching their life out, only to wake up in a Christless eternity in the charred walls of the damned, burning, my friend. You say, Brother Gravely, is hell real? It's as real as the pew you're sitting on tonight. I'm telling you, Jesus said it is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But good news for you tonight, you're not in hell. You're on this side of the grave and the door is still open, and you can come tonight and you can be saved by the grace of God. If you don't come tonight, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, I can tell you that much. It's an unusual revival, isn't it? It's an unusual revival in 26 years, almost 27 come May. I've never preached a revival in the church I pastored. I don't suppose I'll ever do it again. Unless God really, really, really spoke to my heart. But I know God spoke to my heart. I know it as sure as I'm standing here. I know the very moment I went to pick up that cell phone to make a call and the Holy Ghost said, don't. I want you to preach revival here because you know where these people are at. It'd be unusual to have revival before Jubilee, wouldn't it? That'll probably never happen. I mean, I hate to say never because God could decide to do it, you know. But you know what I'm saying. We'd never done it before. Doesn't seem logical. Wouldn't be something, I mean, although it has been good, did it? Kind of going to be depressing next year, ain't it? But you know, you can't do those things if God ain't in them. As good as it is this week, I said, well, we're just going to do that next year. I'm going to tell you, it could be the longest week of your life. Coming to church without God. And I know church is always good, but what makes it so special is when God orders it. And I believe God has ordered this week for all of us. And I believe with all my heart, there's people sitting here under the sound of my voice. You hadn't broken yet. Maybe you won't. Maybe you're that determined and God is just going to shut the door on you. You can let your day of visitation go by. The Bible said the selfsame day entered Noah This family enters in. They enter into this ark in verse 13 by faith. They had never seen rain before. They had never, can you imagine telling the world it's going to rain when they'd never seen it? There's only one way Noah built that ark. Hebrews tells us, by faith, to the saving of his household. I don't know a lot about them boys, but I know one thing. Had their daddy not had faith, they too would have went to hell. And I'm telling you, they entered the ark. This family in verse 13 is going in this ark. They're going in by faith. They don't know how the door is going to close. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd have been thinking about this. I'd have been thinking, you know, if a flood does come, we can't shut that door. We've done all this work, and all we're going to do is drown on the inside. I'm going to tell you, you don't drown on the inside. God didn't shut that door before to show them what he could do. They had to walk in by faith. And sinner, if you get saved, the only way you get in the family of God is by faith. You got to believe you're a sinner. You got to believe Jesus died on the cross for you. And you got to believe it enough to want to do something about it. You got to believe it enough to get out of that seat where you're at and come down here. You say, preacher, would God save me if you'll accept him by faith? You can't do anything to be saved. You can't say the right things to be saved. I tell you what you can do. You can accept what you hear. You can accept the gospel, and you can believe the gospel. Romans 10 and verse 9 said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to say tonight, it's by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the victory, 1 John 5 and verse 4, that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad it's not by works. I'd have never got in. I'm glad it's not by goodness. I'd have never got in. But God said, if you'll just take it by faith. I'll tell you something else. God gives every man a measure of faith. And if you'll take the measure of faith you got, and if you'll put it in the gospel, it'll save you tonight. Amen. They entered by faith. They entered by free will. Amen. And nobody made them. God didn't make them go in that ark. They went in on their own. Amen. And I'm telling you, sinner, God will not storm the door of your heart and arrest your soul. He's a perfect gentleman tonight. He'll knock at your heart's door. He'll give you an invitation, but you got to open it up and let him in. Amen. You got to accept him tonight. And when I think about this family in verse 13, they went in by faith, by free will. They went in by obedience, didn't they? They just simply obeyed what God said, not knowing the end of the outcome, but they believe what God said. And God saved them. And I see their faith. An entire family in verse 13 goes in the ark. And I want to say tonight, don't you want your family to get into heaven? I tell you, we ought to pray for all of our family to be saved. Preached on that a few weeks ago here at the church, on how to keep your family out of hell, how you keep them out of hell is keep a burden on your heart for them, pray for them, call on God, amen. Raise them children up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. Don't spare the rod. You'll send them to hell if you spare the rod. That's what that book says, amen. I'm telling you, you teach and you train and you love them, amen, but you discipline those children and break their will so that they don't break your heart one day. If you raise a rebel, they'll look at God one day when the Holy Ghost knocks on their heart, and they'll have the same spirit against God that they have against you. Amen. I didn't have saved parents, but I thank God I had parents that knew how to tear my hind end up. Amen. They knew how to wear me out. And thank God they broke my will at a young age. And they weren't mean, and it wasn't child abuse. I thank God for parents like that. Amen. I tell you, they broke my will so that when the Holy Ghost came calling, amen, I didn't resist. Amen. Because they taught me not to resist authority. Amen. You know why there's a generation going to hell? Because they never saw a belt or a hickory. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling you, these kids, amen, run around and act like, I mean, they just treat their parents any old way. I'd have been picking every one of my teeth up out of the floor, amen, if I'd acted like some kids I see acting. I'm telling you, friend, and we didn't let our children go up that way neither, amen. I'm telling you, I didn't have to say something more than once. If I was going to have to say it twice, and I didn't, listen, both my girls are sitting here tonight, and listen, they'll tell you, I didn't abuse them. I didn't abuse y'all, but I'll tell you, you got to warn
warning, then you got a whipping's what you got. Amen. Not a warning and a spanking. Well, I'm losing some of you right now, but I'm going to go ahead and plow her up anyway. Amen. Because mom and dad, you may not have the guts and grits to be the parent God wants you to be, but I'm going to at least preach it to your children. Try to keep them out of hell. Amen. I'm just telling you, I know I'm 1,000% right because the book of Proverbs is right. Amen. Hey, parents, listen to me. Get off the stinking internet and quit reading all that junk. Quit watching videos on how to raise your children. All these counselors and all this kind of mess, it's in Genesis. Just hang on. Amen. Quit. I mean, I'm appalled by people that go to church at their theology about raising children. As if all they got to do is look at the generation before them and before that. Amen. I'm appalled at people that go to church and the things, the philosophy, and that's what that is, that they say. I didn't even know till a year ago there was a, Brother Danny, I didn't know there was a thing called gentle parenting. You know who's laughing in this building? Middle age and up. Gentle parenting. I sure wish somebody had told my mom and dad about that. I didn't get saved till I was 13, but I knew I had the devil in me because they always talked about beating him out of me. You remember that? Boy, you do that again, I'll beat the devil out of you. I was like, I wish you'd hurry up. But I didn't talk back to my parents. Our kids didn't talk back to us. They didn't tell me twice. Y'all with me tonight? I mean, my daddy used the belt, my mama used the hickory. They'd wear you out. And then, and you know, if you got in trouble, you waited till they both was together. So you got one whipping, not two. Is that right? I'm going to tell you, I thought for years my parents worked for the CIA. Because I could do something, and I was sure they would never. And then they found out, and I never knew how they found out. You say, what's all that got to do? Because I'd probably be lost today. I told my daddy one day afterwards, I said, Dad, I said, I appreciate you whipping me. And I told my mother that. I said, because had you not, we might all went to hell. You were lost. And that rod, that's what that book says, delivered my soul. So I could get saved, called to preach, and it's not me, I want you to understand, but our family could hear the gospel. And we could all be delivered. I'm just telling you, read Proverbs, don't read the internet. Amen. Ransack Proverbs to be a parent. And I think tonight that this family, they got in. I'm just saying this because don't you want your children to be saved? Don't you want them to go to heaven? Noah looked like a failure and a fool to this world, but I kind of feel like when that door shut, and his family was safe in the ark. In the eyes of Noah, it did not matter what the world thought about him. For the most precious cargo that he had in this world was safe in the ark. I like that old song. Miss April, you sing that song sometimes. Used to. Maybe you still do. I want us to be together in heaven. Don't you want, hey, mother, are you saved tonight? It'd be terrible to be lost. And your husband, your children go to heaven and you're left behind. Be an awful thing. I think that God will have to wipe away all our tears. Because we'll stand at the great white throne judgment and we'll witness that. You'll see a mama standing there, lost, her children saved, husband saved. And she'll be cast in the lake of fire without them. Well, that's the hell of all hells to me, to never see your loved ones again in eternity, to have a faint memory of a life that you spent here on earth but you never got saved. Be awful tonight. I'm just saying to you that the family all got in, and well, I'll tell you, if you're not saved, you ought to want to get in tonight. In verse 14, it's amazing the flesh that goes in this ark.
every beast, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing after its kind, all the fowls and every bird of every sort. I mean, when I read that verse, I thought to myself, Brother Ryan, I thought even the dumb animals, and I know it was the Lord that orchestrated this. I understand that. But even the dumb animals went in the ark. Sometimes people foolishly mock God and ignore God, and hell is full of people tonight that they didn't mock him, but they just ignored his voice. Wouldn't do anything about it. I noticed the order. The Bible says in verse number 15 that they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. You know, if you're saved, or if you're here tonight and you're present, whether you're saved or you're lost, you ought to recognize something. The breath that's in your body is not your own tonight. You have the breath of life. Only God can give breath. And the breath that you have tonight, God gave it to you. And the next breath you take, God gave it to you. And the next breath that you take, God gave it to you. And every breath, I don't know how many times in a lifetime that I will breathe the breath of life, but God knows every single breath that I have ever taken in this life. And he knows every breath that is left that I'm going to take. And I want you to know tonight that every breath you've had and every breath that you will have came from God. It was God that gave you that breath, and at any moment, at any time, God could choose to not give us another breath. Could choose that, couldn't he? I know a man that passed away at a young age. For me, it was a young age. We went to that man's funeral. Me and my father-in-law did. We didn't go to the funeral. We went to the viewing. And the man was not saved. And I was probably about 17 at the time, but we went to that funeral home. I never seen this in my life. Maybe you have, but we went to that funeral home. That man was laying there in that casket. They had a suit on him. He was probably in his late 20s. He died without the Lord. And that man just went to sleep and didn't wake up. And he was laying there in that casket, his body was, and he wanted to be buried with a black rose. And he had a black rose laying there on his chest. I remember standing there, his parents just weeping. He wasn't married, but he wasn't saved either. You know, I never forgot that image. I can still see that man, that corpse laying there in that casket with that black rose, because for me it was just shocking that a man would be so open about not knowing God and wanting a black rose across his chest. You know, we live in a world today where people don't fear God like they should. I think that people have seen so they have watched so many movies. It's awful. I don't, you know, the things that you can just be in a store somewheres. And I mean the cover of things that they advertise are so demonic and so degrading in life that you know, I don't even know how a person can just watch it over and over. It has to affect their mind to such a level. They see that stuff and they watch it and they know it's Hollywood, and they know that Hollywood has produced so much hell has come out of Hollywood that I think that their mind gets so desensitized and in so warped that sometimes they must get to the place where they don't even believe there's a God anymore. They don't fear a hell. But I tell you tonight, hell is so real. There are people below our feet tonight that are screaming to the very top and wailing to the top of their lungs. These very people that didn't get in the ark, they're still in hell tonight. the door got shut on. I don't know how it happened, but when the heavens opened and the fountains of the deep were broken up and the flood waters began coming in and raging in and just started filling everything up, you know there was panic everywhere and fear had to grip their heart. It was a sight they had never seen before. Noah had been telling them, he had been warning them, he had been preaching that it was coming, but they didn't believe it was coming. They thought Noah was a fool. And I can see them in my mind when those fountains of the deep break up, and I'm telling you that water comes down through those valleys, I mean like a raging river, and sweeps some of them away. Some of them no doubt went running to the hills and running to that ark and beating on that ark, but they wasn't getting in. You say why? Because God shut the door of that ark. Wasn't no man going to open that door. God shut that door to keep Noah safe and to keep them out, and they drowned and they went to hell. They went to hell. When that hurricane came in back last year, I was up in Marion, North Carolina, staying in a little cabin the church had there on a creek. I'd stayed there before. It's a very nice place. And right up above it is a big lake and a little small dam, just probably about 4 or 5 miles up above that place where I was staying at. And this was before the flood came in on Friday, or before the hurricane came in on Friday. And that church, to go to that church, you have to go about 8 miles, maybe 7 or 8 miles up the road. But when you get to the when you turn off the main road there, that there's one road that takes you up to the church, and it's all the way at the top of a mountain. It just keeps winding around till you get to the very top, and that church is up there at the top of that. And so we went to church that night. Didn't seem like there was a cloud in the sky. Could have been, but as we was having church, I could hear the rain just coming down and coming down. It wasn't the hurricane, it was the rain before that hurricane had come, and I'm telling you, it was just dumping buckets of water down. And so we left that night and we started down that mountain making our way back. And I told my wife, I don't think I've ever drove on a highway with so much road in, or so much water in it at one time in my life. And I told her, I said, we need to pray that we make it back. I mean, it was just coming like a river down through there. We got back to that cabin and we were staying there. We were sleeping upstairs, and that creek became a river, and it just kept rising and kept rising. And I told her, and it was rising fast, and I told her, I said, I'll tell you what, you go sleep upstairs. I said, I'm gonna sleep on the couch. And I could hear it, you could just hear it getting louder and louder by the hour. I said, if this doesn't calm down, I said, come daylight we're heading to the house. I called the preacher, and it didn't. It just kept rising all the way back up. I left before it got to the door, but the preacher said it got all the way up to the door, went down there when that hurricane came in. We left that morning, and I'm telling you, about 4 hours later, that thing came into North Carolina, and God just let us get out of there just in time. I thank God for that. We come right down I-40 right where it all washed out. I thank God that he took care of us. Amen. And he let us get out of there. What, that preacher lived about a half a mile down the road from where we stand, washed out both of their bridges, washed out some trailers and houses down through there. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, laying there that night, I could hear it all night long. I could hear that water just getting more stronger, just rising. And I'd go look out the window and I could see it just rising. And I thought about that when I read this text this morning. These people didn't have no chance, is what I'm saying. There wasn't no lookout. There wasn't no opportunity to see the waters rise, and the fountains of the deep broke, and it was like raging rivers coming out of the sky and just washing everything out. And in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, my friend, they woke up in eternity and died without God. I'm telling you, sinner, you hear me tonight. If you reject God, that's exactly the way you'll go to hell. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, you'll split this out into eternity, and you'll be in hell without God. Don't let God shut the door on you. When God shut this door, it meant doom and destruction and death and danger. for everyone that was on the outside. While it was open, there was mercy, there was hope, there was love, there was acceptance, there was an invitation to come in. If I remember correctly, it was 7 days, wasn't it? For that door was open when that ark was completed. 7 days it was there, they could come in. And you think about tonight, you've sat all week in this revival meeting. You say, preacher, you must know somebody in this building's lost. I don't really know anybody. But what I do know is that God just won't let me get off of that. No way, shape, form, or fashion. He won't let me get away from that. And I know that the Lord is dealing with people tonight. I don't know who you are. Could be one, could be five, could be 10, could be 3. But I'm just telling you tonight that God has put this meeting together so that you could be saved. That's mercy tonight. God's let your church have a personal revival this week, so that you could be saved. And I wonder tonight, would you be saved? Would you come tonight and accept Christ as your Savior? Or will you put it off? You say, well, I might get saved during Jubilee. You can't choose. You don't even know if there will be. You have to come. You know when you come? When that door's open. That's when you come. And that door is open tonight, but it may not be open tomorrow night. Brother Gravely, we're not going to have church. Well, we plan on it. But you don't even know if you'll be alive tomorrow. That door is open tonight. That's when you get in, is when God's got it open. But if you ever, I witnessed to a man years ago back home that lived in an old car, and I'm sure I've told you that story. Me and my father-in-law went and visited this man. He lived in the back of this old car in an alley right there in the middle of town, just across from the courthouse. There's a little convenience store on the corner, and you go down that alley right there, and he's an old car there, and he slept in that old car, lived in it. And then he worked in a little service station, a body shop right there. And I was coming out of the convenience store one day, and I saw him sitting in that back of that car. A couple days later, me and my father-in-law went there, and we asked him. We said, we knocked on that car window and said, can we talk to you for a minute? And he just pushed the door open, and we sat in that car, talked to that man. He was just a drunk. He worked in that body shop, and all he did was drink and work. And we tried to get that man. I mean, I could say his last name right now. We tried to get that man to get saved that night. And he told us, and I don't know this man's life. It is not for me to say this. All I know is what the man told me. He said, I can't get saved. I said, sir, you could get saved. He said, I can't get saved. I said, sir, you can get saved. If you want to be saved, the Lord died for you. He said, no. He said, when I was 18, I went to church. And the Lord spoke to me about getting saved. And he said, I got up and walked out of that church. And he said, when I walked out of that church, I said to the Lord, I said, don't ever speak to me again. And he told me and my father-in-law, he said, God has never spoke to me again. And Brother Laddie, it was very hard to accept that, you know. We pleaded with the man because I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And we pleaded with that man to get saved. But it was to no avail. And he died, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, 7 years later. He was up in years. I don't know about that man's story. If I can't say if that's all I can tell you is what the man said. But what I can say is you can tell God no. And he can leave you alone. And if he deals with your heart, you ought to come. If you want to be saved tonight, you can be. Don't you want to be saved? And if you're religious tonight and that's all you have is religion, you say, well, what's everybody going to think? Well, everybody here that's saved is going to be so happy for you. Nobody in this building cares. I think I speak for all of us, and I'll probably get a good amen when I say this. Nobody in this church cares what your affiliation, your title, or your so-called religious status is. We don't care, do we, church? I tell you, the only thing we care about is if you're lost, that you get saved. That's all that matters tonight. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.